Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Yevamis Chavtes. We're holding right at the Mishnah, six lines from the top of the Amud. Today we're going to discuss the concept of Ma'amar. That's a term used for describing Kiddushin done to a Yevama. The conventional method is either Yibum, living with her as married, or Chalitza, removal of that shoe, etc. What if he actually gives her a Kiddushin? Gives her money, or a Shtar, which is typical of the ordinary Kiddushin process given to a regular Isha, a non-Yevama Isha. What if he does it to a Yevama? Does that count? Does it have any effect? Let's see. Says the Mishnah, Shloisha Achan, you have three brothers. Shnayim nesuim shteachoyes, two of which are married to two sisters, Reuben to Rachel, Shimon to Leah, ve'echad mufne, you have a third brother, Levi, who's unmarried, or married to a stranger, not part of this sisterhood situation. Meis echad mibaleachoyes, Reuben, husband of Rachel, passes on. Levi would like to do some yibum here, which he can at this point, because there's only one Yevama awaiting Yibum. There's no competition between herself and sister, who's still married to the other fellow Shimon. So now Levi approaches Rachel, his one Yevama, v'asaba mufne ma'amar, and this mufne fellow, Levi, instead of Yibum or Chalita, decides on ma'amar. He gives her some money, he's mekadesher, gives her a shtar kiddushin, v'ach akach meis achav asheni, and then Shimon passes away, leaving behind a widow. What does Levi do? If he was already married to Rachel, then Rachel's his wife, and Leah, the new newcomer on the scene, the new Yevama, is his wife's sister, an Erva, which doesn't have Yevam. But here, he never took Rachel in completely. He just did Ma'amar. How do we treat Rachel vis-a-vis Levi? They say Ishta Imay, Ma'amar accomplishes much. It considers it like it's his wife. So she's his wife, Valazu, and the other woman, Leah, who's now the sister Yevama, Taitse Mishmachois Isha, she leaves the scene. She's disqualified. She's a sister of his wife. According to Beis Shammai, Ma'amar has a profound effect. We consider it as though she's really married to him, and now Levi is Rachel's husband. In which case, Leah, the new Yevam, is disqualified as per Achayis Isha. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, they disagree. Ma'amar does something, but it's only Midrabbon, as well, opposed to Beis Shammai, you seem to hold that it's Minatur. Beis Hillel hold, no, it's only Midrabbon, on it creates some sort of designation, but it's not to the point that we consider Rachel to have sort of married Levi, in which case, when Leah arrives on the scene, Levi is now faced with two Yevamos, which creates a conflict because they're both sisters. Each one is Achayis Ukukasei. He loses on both accounts. He has to give up both opportunities. Moitzis Ishta Beget. He separates from his wife with a get. This is to address the Ma'amar, which needs a get. Ubechalitza, of course, he has to still do Chalitza to his so-called wife, Rachel, because she's still a Yevama. Ve'esha Sachav Bechalitza. And likewise, Leah gets Chalitza. Zuyish Amran, this they say, woe from both directions. Oiloy al Ishtai, woe to him on account of losing his wife Rachel, oiloy al Ishas Achiv, and he also loses the opportunity to be Miyabim Leah Ishas Achiv. Zoihi Lemutim Maimim. We say, in this case, he loses both. Both women. What are we coming to exclude? As opposed to which other case where we will not apply this concept? He will not lose on both accounts. He will not lose all sides. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, the Lev Dinah can say, we don't follow Rabbi Yeshua. What's the case of Rabbi Yeshua? So you have Reuven and Shimon, of course. Reuven is married to Rachel. Shimon is married to Leah, who is still a Ketana, in which case the Kedushin is only the Rabbanan. Reuven passes away, leaving Rachel as a Yevama. What does Shimon do? You see, the problem is that Leah, Shimon's wife, who is really Rachel's sister, is not really properly married to Shimon. It's only Kedushim de Rabbanon. So technically, Rachel really takes priority over Leah. What do we do? Says Rabbi Yeshua, you lose on both accounts. Separate from your wife, who is now the sister of your Yevama, and you can't have Leah either because She's a sister of your Gerusha. We have trouble on all sides. So Rishua holds he loses both wives. Our Mishnah, which uses the term Zoihi, only in this case by us do we lose both, that's coming to rule out from Rishua. No, we don't follow that Shita, we don't lose both over there. Rather, what do we do in that case of the Ketana Ella? Rather, Iker Rabba Gamliel, either we follow Rabba Gamliel's approach, which is wait until the Ketana grows up and then you're properly married to her, in which case she's your wife and the other Yevama is Achayis Isha, she's out of the picture. Iker Blezer, or like Rabba Blezer who says, we encourage the Ketana to do me and walk off, walk away, in which case she's no longer on the scene and you're free to be Miyabim, Leia, the other Yevama. So our Mishnah follows either Rabba Gamliel or Blezer, but not Rabbi Shua. So this, of course, is following Beis Hillel, who hold that Mamer doesn't create that connection between Yavam and Yavam. You need Chalitza, you need Yibam to accomplish that proper connection. Whereas Beis Shammai disagree, Mamer does do something. Now what does it do? We're going to have three ways to interpret the Mamer procedure according to Beis Shammai. Here it goes. Amar Belazar. You should not even suggest that, according to Beis Shammai, Mamer makes Kinyan Gomer. It's a proper acquisition that we consider her like his wife. She undergoes a status change, so to speak, from Yevama to wife, in which case, from this point onward, if they want to separate, he does get only without Chalitza. Don't suggest that. That what? That Mamer is koinikin and gomor di boy la fuki, that if he wishes to separate sagila begita, a get is sufficient. That's not correct. Of course, she's still a Yevama. And if he wants to separate, he needs get to remove the Mamer effect. And of course, he needs to stand with Chalitza as well. She's still a Yevama. Ella, rather, Mamer le Beis Shammai. What does Mamer do according to Beis Shammai? It creates a designation. Ella koin, enoi koine, ella litchais betzara bovat. Doesn't make a proper kinyan. She's not engaged. She's not married to him. Rather, it kicks out the tzara. In our Mishnah, we have two sisters. Yevamis, it sort of pushes the tzara out of the way. Pushes the other sister out of the way. We call her tzara, but it's just a way of saying the other Yevama, the competing Yevama. Because you have designated Rachel as your future Yevama through the Mamer procedure. So now that you've done that, you've shut the door on all the other potential Yevamais, and your Yevama is okay. She's not considered achayis, a sister of the other Zakuka, the other one bound for Yevam, because the other one is no longer bound for Yevam once you've designated this one. That's all it does. So it sort of has a negative effect on the other one rather than a profound positive effect on this one. I'll prove this point from our mission. Af anana mitanina. We learned likewise in a Mishnah back on the Chavav. A fellow was presented with two Yevamis, Achayis, sisters. So Reuven and Shimon pass on, they leave behind Rachel and Leah, two sisters. Levi and Yehuda presented with two Yevamis, says the Mishnah, what do you do? Chalitza. Yibum is not an option because each one is Achayis or Kukase, right? Let's say they both jump into it and they do Yibum. What happens? Vishamu, I mean, Yikaimu, they could hold on to them. Yikaimu in, they could hold on, but Lechatchilu, like, this is not a preferred option. There's no way to arrange Yibam Lichatchila. Why not? Let's pull out the Mamar card and arrange Yibam as follows. If you're going to tell me that according to Beis Shammai, Mamar has a profound impact on this relationship, it creates that proper connection, why don't we do as follows? Levi and Yehuda are faced with two Yevami sisters? No problem. Use the Mamer option. Let Levi do Mamer to Rachel and be kind to her. So although he's not allowed to be Mamer at this point, in her current state, she's still a sister of Leah, the other Yavama. But Mamer can be done in any case. There's no Isser, Rashi says. No Isser to do Mamer. It's not like Yibum. So you can outsmart the system. You can do Mamer to Rachel, in which case you're kind. She's now yours. In which case the other one is sort of off the table, as far as I'm concerned, she's mine. Likewise, Yehuda can do the same. Do Mamer to Leah. Be kind to her. She's his wife. The other one is Achayis Ishtoi. and I don't have to reckon with the other one. So it's a right from here that it doesn't work like that. Mamar is not kind of kinin gamar. Says, well, 1 second. So what does it do? So what does mamar do? Elamai, what's the other option? Mamar doesn't make a proper kinin. It's not as though you acquired this yevama, but at least it pushes, it kicks the other one out. It designates this one as opposed to the other one. If that's the case, then it can also be used in that Mishnah. It can also be applied as a solution. Laban and Yudah faced with Rachel and Leah, two sisters, use the Mamar option. Zeyasa Mamar v'yitcha. Let Levi apply Mamar to Rachel, in which case he's shoving Leah away. He's taking her off the map. She's no longer a factor to be reckoned with, in which case Rachel is running uncontested, no competition, no achoy zekuka. Likewise, Yehuda can do the same to Leah. So whichever way you learn Mamar, you can still use it. So why can't you? Elamai. So it must be that there's a reason why Mamar is not an option. Because you know why? It's not your standard Mamar. Elamai is lachomem. You're going to say like this. Mamar, the hetera dachi. A Mamar done when you can do Yivam. You see, the point of Mamar is to prepare for Yivam. Bring her closer and closer until you get to the Yivam. A Mamar, which is done in a Yivam context, in a Yivam-enabled circumstance, such as an Alamishna over here, right? The Reuven passed away. Levi did Mamar at that point. She's perfect. She was perfectly suitable for Yivam to Levi. So Mamar done in a Heter situation, that accomplishes. It's understandable, because that Mamar is designating her for me. She's availing her. It's preparing her for the Yibum, for the upcoming Yibum. So that accomplishes what it's meant to do. But the Isur Leidachi, but a Mamar done in a Isur context, such as in the Mishnah back in the Chavav, you have two sisters, you can't be Miyavim either one. You can't pull out the Mamar card either. That Mamar is not going to be an effective Mamar. So here as well, meaning even if you'll tell me that typically, Mamar is going to make a proper kinyan. Hachinami Mamar, afilu madamar Mamar kinyan kinyan gamar. Even if typically Mamar is a full acquisition, but you can still draw that line between a proper Mamar and a deficient Mamar. Mamar deheteru kani. If it's a proper Mamar, it can acquire. The yisur lekani, but if it's not a proper Mamar, it can't do it. So bottom line is, you haven't proven anything from that Mishnah Nachavav. Mamar perhaps is kind of Mamar, perhaps is just doicha the tzar, but over there it won't work either way because it's not a proper Mamar. Ravashi Masniyachi, he had a different, Ravashi had a different version of Rabbi Lazar. The first version was, well, we have a choice whether we understand Mamar being a kinyan or Mamar just pushing away the other yevam. Ravashi had a different version, a different addition. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Loitema Mamar lebe shamet. See, according to this version, there is no notion that Mamar creates a proper kinyan. That's not up for discussion. Mamar is just there to designate this particular Yivama and shove away the other one. But there are two ways to understand that as well. So does it completely kick around to the point that she's already no longer considered a Yivama? She doesn't even need Chalitza. She's not a potential candidate for Yivama. Or does it just push her aside to the point that she won't interfere with the first Yivama? She won't be considered a Chayse Kuka. So is it only relative to the Yivama that with which you did Mamar? Let's say you did Mamar to Rachel. So Rachel is now the designated Yivama, the Yivama elect. In which case, Leah can't interfere. That's one tzad. So the Mamar only shoves aside Leah relative to Rachel with respect to benefiting Rachel. It makes her an uncompeted, uncontested Yivama. Or is it more than that? Does it actually affect Leah and sort of take her off the map? She's no longer Yivama, she no longer needs Chalitza. Two ways to understand. Amar Belazar, Loi Tema Mamar Lebe Shamed Dachit Chiyah Gmur. Don't say that it totally shoves her aside. Vitzarasa Chalitza Nami Le Baya, which absolves the tzara from Chalitza? No, not that far. It doesn't have such a powerful effect. Ela doichem shayru. It pushes her aside to the extent that the other Yivama no longer competes with me, but it still leaves over some zika, some, she's still somewhat bound to the mitzvah, and chalitza is required. On this, Rabbi Amid said, "Af anana mitanina." I can prove this point from the Mishnah. Prove what? That there's still some lingering zika by the other Yevama. Mishnah says, "Bishame oimer mikaimu." Back to the case of the two sisters. So chalitza is really the way to go. And let's say the two brothers actually did yibum. They jumped in. They did yibum. So Bishame say, "Yikaimu." They can hold on to them, and we don't force them out. So it's mashma from here. That's only b'diavad. Yikaimu in lechatchila loy. As we said before, this is not really a lechatchila option. You can't really arrange yibum lechatchila. And the question is why? Let's pull out the mamar card. If mama really pushes the other tzara away and she's totally off, out of the equation, well, why can't we arrange as follows? We have Levi and Yehuda faced with Rachel and Leah, two sisters. Very simple. Let Levi do mama to Rachel and totally shove aside Leah. She's no longer a part of his life. So now he's free to be miyabim Rachel. And the same thing Yehuda can do. And Yehuda will do mama and Leah and be daiche Rachel and take her off the scene. So apparently, mamar does not have such a impactful effect. So let's do it one second. So what are you telling me? That mamar only creates this partial dechia. What about our Mishnah? Anamanala. Well, hodiktani. We had a Mishnah by us. Bishami oimrim ishta imay. Valozu teitzi mishimachos isha. Right? So you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and Shimon are married to two sisters. Reuven passes away. Levi does mamar, and then suddenly Shimon passes away. And now Levi is faced with his Yivama, with whom he did mamar, and then the other sister, the Leah sister. Bishama says, no problem, because Levi has committed himself to Rachel, in which case we consider her as though she is his wife, because mamar has that effect. And the other one is shoved away. She's out of the picture. It's clear that mamar will totally shove away the other Yivama and take her out of the equation. Oh, so you seem to have a sort of a contradicting implications from Mishnah Chavav and Mishnah Chavtes. Mishnah Chavtes, by us, we seem to see that the imam totally pushes the other one away, not to be reckoned with. Whereas back on the Chavav, we seem to think that it's not really a good option. Oh, so you must find a distinction. Like we said before, it depends what type of mamar, in what context the mamar is coming about. If it's a proper mamar or an efficient mamar. Hello. Yevama de chazi lekulu. If she's a yevama, is roy, is fit for the entire yibum procedure, yibum chalitza, a regular yevama, like an al kes nef chavtesam at all. Reuven's yevama is a proper yevama. So then in that case, chazi lemiksasa, she's roy for a partial solution, meaning the mamar. The mamar, in this case, is a proper mamar and has a proper effect. As opposed to back on the Chavav with the two sisters, Yivama de lechazi lekula, Yivama was not Yivam enabled. She can't go through the whole process. Lechazi lemiktsasa is not really enabled for even part of the process, in which case, mamar over there is not really an effective. Doesn't have a proper effect. Okay, so we so far had two tzadim. Is three tzadim. Is mamar a kinyan gomer? Is it just going to shove away the tzara? And to what extent does it shove away the tzara? We tried to bring rice from the Mishnayis, and we really didn't come up with much of a concrete direction from the Mishnayis. Rather, we must rely on Rabbi Lezer, who actually tells us that you should know mamar, even according to Beis Shammai, according to the first edition of Lezer, it's not going to be koine kinyan gomer, which would pretty much absolve this yivama from chalitza and rather turn her into a regular isha, a conventional isha which requires only a get. It doesn't do that. It only designates her to the point that it pushes away the other yivama and removes that competing element. In the second edition, we had a step further. Don't even think that it's going to push her completely away, in which case she no longer needs chalitza. Rather, it only pushes her aside partially, in which case she doesn't compete with the Yivama to which you did Mimer, but nevertheless the other Yivama is still somewhat here in the background and requires Chalitza. Boy Rabbi, here comes a new Shaila. Mamar lebe shama nesuin oisa, or erusin oisa. We speak about mamar having that profound effect, and the Tosfos Yeshanim points out that apparently Rabbah is following the shita that mamar is going to make a kinyan gomer, it's minat Torah, and now the Yivama has now turned into a regular Isha. To what extent? Is it like marriage, nisuin oisa, or merely erusin oisa, like engagement? I'm only at baye, what's the difference? What is the difference between one and the other? Lamay ilchasa, what ramifications are there to your shaila? Ilay mele yorisha, is it pertaining to his ability to inherit her property? Ulatamila, whether if he's a kayin, does he have a heter to engage in her burial and become tamei, which is something only a husband will do? Ulafin adareya, the question is whether he has the ability to revoke her vows. Is that your shaila? Well, you know what? It's irrelevant because hashta arusa ba'ama. Look, even typically, you're a standard engaged woman. You're arusa. Tanur b'chiruchia tells us. Ishti arusa, if it's only an arusa before, prior to marriage, loy oinen, loy metamela. If he's a kohen, he doesn't observe dini aninus, nor can he become tamei to engage in her burial. V'cheni loy oinen es loy metames loy. Likewise, she can't do the same to him. Meisa eino yorsha, if she passes away, he doesn't inherit her property. Meisu, if he passes on, goy b'ksuvasa, she gets the ksuva money. Rashi says, was speaking when he committed from the time of erison. In any case, it's clear that the erusin relationship is not as profound as marriage, and these halachas will not apply. By a conventional isha, it won't apply. Avad ba mamar mi boy, is there any need? It goes without saying that mamar won't do that. Yivama typically is not meant to have mamar. It's not standard procedure. So if you find that by a regular isha, erusin doesn't do much pertaining to these halachas, certainly mamar by a yivama won't accomplish that. So there's no question about that. So what then is your shaila? Ve'ella, rather, le'inyan mesir l'chupa. Mai. We have a question whether mamar is considered as though she allowed herself, she availed herself to come l'chupa. And the first one explains as follows. Typically, a yivama, a proper yivama, you can do yibam with her ba'al karcha. So if you live with her as married, even against her will, it's not up to her. It accomplishes the mitzvah yibam. The point is to continue the life and take over the state of the departed brother. It's not something that Torah left up to her. It's something that can be done even by korcha. It's her obligation. That's by a typical yivama, but by a regular isha who you are marrying, you can't force her in. She has to actually consent. She has to come to the chuppah, etc. So in this case, where you take a yivama and you sort of slap onto her mamar, which is the procedure applied to a non-yivama, what happens now? Have you transformed her? She's no longer considered a yivama, in which case even bal karcha can't work. Rather, you treat her like a regular isha. And what happens by a regular isha? You need mesir l'chuppah, you need that joined together under the chuppah to allow marriage, to enable marriage. So do we say that mamar does that or not? Ve'ela l'inyan mesir l'chuppah, is it considered like chuppah? Mai, nesuin oisa, v'lo yiboya mesir l'chuppah. Does mamar accomplish the same as nesuin, in which case you don't have to go through the formality of going in l'chuppah? Perhaps mamar doesn't accomplish that much. It only creates that first step of engagement. In which case, you still need mesir l'chupa. And then, if you live with her as married, even bal korcha, it's going to work. But you need first mesir l'chupa. She should consent to this marriage procedure. Amar lei. So he responded, look, what's your question? Why do you need chuppah by a yavama? She's a yavama after all. Ha'ashallah yavad ba'mamr. Even if you would not have done mamr. K'siv yavama yavad ba'al-karcha. We live from a pasuk. Yibam works even against her will. Avad ba'mamr yavad. Then you need to speak about a case of mamr. It goes without saying that if you even did mamr, which is even better than your typical yavama, you did something extra, of course. She's already 1 foot into the family and yibam ba'al-karcha works. What's your question? Amalei, he says, not so fast. No, listen to this. Shani, because I can think, I can perhaps suggest, this is my thinking, that, yeah, she changes. although she's really a Yavama, but once you do Mamar, Kaloisa, Mamar Bivimtoi, once Mamar is performed, that's not a part of the Yivam process, that's conventional type of process. That's like Kiddushin. Parucham Eimenu, Zikas Yivam, or perhaps the Zikas Yivam, the privilege, the ability of the Yavam to do what he needs to do with the Yivam, Parucha, it just flies off. It disappears. He loses that ability. V'chala olav zikas erison. Now, regular erison processes step in. It takes over the Yivam process. She sort of underwent a status change when she had Mamre done to her. We no longer regard her as a Yivama who's undergoing the regular, conventional Yivam process. Rather, we treat her like a regular Isha to a certain extent, in which case, perhaps Yivam Baal Korcha will no longer be effective. Unless you consider the Mamar like Mesir, like Nesuin, in which case she's already like totally married to you, and then Yibam Bal Karcha will work. That's a Shaila Mai. So how would you deal with Mamar? Is it Erison or Nesuin? Tashma, here comes the Raya. Shemiras Yabam. Mishnah Dharma speaks about an Isha who's awaiting Yibam. Bein Yabam Echad, Bein Shnei Yivam, and whether she's waiting for one Yavam to get his act together or two Yivam. Whether there is only one surviving brother or two. What happens if she makes a neder? So typically, a neder made by a wife can be revoked by her husband, hafaras nedarim. What happens by a shemeras yavam? She's still unmarried, but she's awaiting yibam. Is she considered like their wives or not? Rav Lezer Amir Yafer, Rav Lezer says, yes, the yavam can do hafaras nedarim. Rabbi Shua Emer, no. Depends. Le'echad, if there's one fellow here, fine. He has control, he's the boss. But if there are two brothers awaiting this potential yavam, then who's the boss? You can't really allow, you can grant four privileges to one over the other. Rabbi Kiva Omer, loy lechad v'lishnayim, irrelevant of whether it's just one or two yavam, and there's no hafar sandarim applicable at all. What's the machlek? Vavinamo, we had a shayla, how to explain the mission? Let's go down the shittas. Bishlam Rabbi Kiva, I understand Rabbi Kiva, he holds savar ein zika. Zika is not considered like marriage. Rashi says ein zika keknusa. Even if it's just one brother who's totally designated and awaiting this Yivama, he's not married. So there's no hafaras nedarim. Okay, that's straightforward. Rabbi Shua, what about Rabbi Shua's Shita? He holds, look, l'chad yesh zika. There's one Yavam. She's meant for him. Okay, zika is applicable. L'trei ain't zika. If there are two, it's undesignated. It's not personal. Zika is not activated, so there's no hafaras nedarim. These two shitas are clear. Ela the Rabbi Lazar, how do we explain Rabbi Eliezer? Nihi nami de kasavar yesh zika. I understand that he follows the zika approach. In which case we consider the yavam as though he's married to the yavama, which would allow him the hafaras nedarim privileges. But let's take it apart. Bish leimalachad meifar. I understand if it's one brother here, he's the boss. Of course he can do Afar. Elu Letrei, but if there are two brothers, Amai, how can you allow one of them to do Afar? Who's to say that he's going to be Miyavim the Isha? That's a strong kasha. V'amar ba'ami ba'ava, achmai skinner. You know what we're speaking about? There's a detail we have to add. Kigoyin da'ovet ba'mamar. What happened was, sure there were two brothers, but only one stepped forward and did mamar. Following Beishamai Shita, a Mamar accomplishes fully. It's a full acquisition. In which case, this fellow who jumped forward and stepped up to the plate and did the Mamar, he was kind of the Yivam, it's his wife. And his Afaras Nedarim. So that's the end of the story. How does that pertain to us? We had a shayla whether mamar is like engagement or like marriage. It's pretty clear that it's marriage. It's very much understandable. The halacha could be comprehended if mamar creates nesuin. That explains how he could do hafaras nedarim. But if mamar is just a part-way connection, it's like engagement, like kiddushin. How can this fellow do hafaras nedarim? Don't we know that an arusa needs father and chasan to be involved? It's a joint venture. But not a murasa. If you have a nara who's murasa, and she does have a nether, who addresses the nether? Avia u'bala mefirin dera. Father and husband have to tend to the nether. So how could the yavam on his own do a faris and dorm? If mamar is just erusin, amar v'nachmar yitzchak. Okay, let's get around that. Very simply, my mefer, mefer b'shutfes. When it says mefer, means in partnership with the father. Now you'll ask, everybody asked this kasha today. What do you mean? The woman here is a yavama. She's a widow. I mean, she's already left her father's domain. She already married somebody and got divorced and got widowed. Her father no longer has jurisdiction over her. So why does the Gemara say that the father will come along and join the yavam in Afaras and Durim? The answer is very pashut. We're speaking that perhaps she's just engaged and then she got widowed. Her father gave her over to a fellow who's Mekadesh her, and that fellow passed away. So she never really fully left his possession. Only happens by Nesuin. She was in Skadish, and then this fellow passed away. And of course, the Yibam applies then too. How do I know? Because a couple of days ago we had a Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah? Two brothers, Nefchav Gimel Beis, not two brothers, Shtayim Shekitcher, two strangers. Right? I actually misquoted that Mishnah at the time. I was saying it's two brothers. No, it's two strangers. Two strangers that were Mekadesh, two sisters there, and they passed away, right? And we have to look after the Yavamis. The Gemara clearly says that there was no Nesu'in. In fact, they got mixed up. We don't know who's who, and they couldn't proceed to Nesu'in. It was only Kedushin. It's clear from that Mishnah that a Yavama coming from Kedushin is a Yavama. In any case, that's what happened. So now, this Yavama, who was widowed from Erusin, did a nether, so her Yavam and her father will join together to take care of the nether. Okay. So bottom line is, we don't have a riot with Shaila. Is Mamar Erusin or Nesu'in? It can go either way. Because even if it's just Erusin, in which case the Yavam wouldn't have sole rights to Afara, true. He joins together with the father. That's all the Mishnah meant. Here comes a brand new shayla, which will take us back to the beginning of the sugya where we had Rabbi Lazar, the Amora, telling us that you should know that Mamar, even according to Beis Shammai, it doesn't accomplish much. It doesn't really turn the Yavama into a wife. It just pushes away the Tzara, etc. Here comes a kasha on that. From this halacha of Afaras Nedarim. Ula Rabbi Lazar, the Amor Mamar le Beis Shammai, Einei Kaine, Ela Litches le Tzara Belvad, according to Rabbi Lazar, who tells us that according to Beis Shammai, Mamar, all it does is push away the tzara. Amai mefer b'shutfis. So in this case, even if the Yavam did Mamar, right, that's how you interpreted the case. He did Mamar, but still, Mamar doesn't have that positive effect, doesn't make that positive relationship, it just pushes away the tzara. By designating one, it kicks out the tzara, but it doesn't create that positive bond, in which case it's not marriage, and why would he have the ability to be made for a stranger's nether? True, it's in partnership with father, but he's not a partner. The Yavam is not really a player on the scene. Amalek Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer responds as follows. Eimer de Amri ano. Eino yikoine. Elo litches letzar belvad. It's true. Although I did say that the Mamer, all it does is pushes away the other woman. I meant to say the leisog lebegita. Elo boi na mechalitz. I meant to say like this. Don't think that Mamer really creates that bond, changes the status of the Yavama, turns her into a regular Isha, in which case, going forward, you need a get if you want a divorce and you don't need chalitza. No. I was coming to undo that notion. No. Even with Mamar, she's still Yavama, she needs chalitza. La'afan, the Re'a Mi'amrina, was I even discussing a verse in Dharma? It's an entirely different topic. Of course, Mamar creates some sort of bond between the two, and he has the ability to be made from the Dharma. Yibai Yisem, here comes another terrorist to the Kash. Amar Chablazer. So Chablazer was challenged, right? If Mamar barely does anything, how can it empower the Yavam to tend to her Nedarim? Amalek Rablezer responds with a rebuttal. Well, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak minicha. What's your alternative? So Nachman Yitzchak told us, we're speaking that the Yavam is going to join together with the father, etc. Is that any better? Look at the wording of the Mishnah. Miktana yaferu. Does the Mishnah then say they will do hafara as though there is a partnership? Yafriktani. It says he will do hafara. So your approach isn't really, it's also a bit shaky. It's a bit unfounded, looking at the wording in the Mishnah. Oh, so I'll come up with a new solution to the entire kash. What was the kash? How could a yavam be made for nedarim? Listen to this novel approach, which will address all the kashas and provide a solution to all your difficulties. Allah my skin, you know, speaking about a very unique case. What happened was, this yavam was taking his merry time. He was procrastinating, and she's like, I need to be supported, I have to pay my bills. Then she dragged him to the Bezdin. Bezdin says, you know what, she's right. The yavam has to support her. He has to pay her bills. And now you know what happens? Subconsciously, a woman submits herself to the fellow who's supporting her. Ukdara Pinchas Mishmeh Rav, as he tells us, Dona Pinchas Mishmeh Rav, Kolane Deris, an Isha who does a neder, Adas Balahina Deris, she's mindful of the need to satisfy her husband's wishes. She doesn't want to get on his bad side. When she makes that neder, whatever it may be, in her mind, it is conditional upon her husband's consent. Here as well by the Yavama, although she's not yet married to him. She marries Yavama, but once he's paying her bills, she's submissive to him. And whatever nether she makes, it's conditional upon his approval. In which case, it's like any other tznai. He has the ability to revoke it. He says, look, I'm not interested. Irrespective of his powers, of a first and dharma or not, it's a simple condition. She's doing it conditional upon his approval. That's fine. So even if there was no mamar done, he's totally unconnected to her. Her mindset, b'shas, making the nether, is only if he wants. By the way, the Taisis Shanim es akasha, if so, that every isha conditions her nether upon her husband's consent, why do we need the whole parsha, parsha's motto is that a baal could be made from a derm? That's the mindset to begin with. If he wants. He answers like this. I'll read inside. This whole concept of Adas Bala, it's only after the parsha, brisket. This is what the parsha is telling you. This is learned from the parsha. It's not something we would introduce on our own. Yeah, this is exactly what we learned from the parsha. This is the gather that we derive from the parsha, that an isha, under her husband's care, will subconsciously submit to him and condition her nedarim on his approval. Okay. So bottom line is like this. When it comes to a verse and nedarim of a yavam, we have three shittas. Rabbi Akiva, he holds that whether it's one yavam or two yavamim, one brother or two brothers, they may not do a verse and nedarim, as the Gemara explains, because he holds zika is not effective. Rabbi Shua holds zika does allow him, yesh zika, but only by one brother. In which case, he's meant to do the yibum, and he's empowered to take care of her nedar. But by two brothers, it's undefined, undesignated. We will not apply zika in this case to allow him hafaras nedar. Rabbi Lezer is a mechudesh dekashita. He says whether it's one yavam or two yavam, they can do, he can do hafaras nedar. The question was, how? How does this work? Oh, we have several approaches. Either we're speaking that there was mamar done, and Maimar either does nisuin, so it's as though he's married to her, and he has a forest and darn privileges, or perhaps a Maimar is simply Arison, and was speaking that the husband with the Yavam will join together, or as the Maimar concludes, very simply, skip the Maimar, maybe. Was speaking that he's supporting her, in which case she is being Neidr al Dati. Okay, let's do a brief Chazara. We discussed Maimar, which is a Kedusha Yivama, according to Beis Hillel, worthless. It doesn't really do much. It does something, we'll see eventually in the Masechta, it's a preparation for the Yivam, but in terms of concrete effects on the configuration here, it won't really do much. And that's why in the case where, after he did Mamre to one sister, the other one shows up, he's stuck, he's really in a bind, because he's faced with two Yivamas of equal value. According to Beis Shama, yes, Maimer does something. According to many Rishonim, it's based on the Pasuk. V'lokhle the Isha v'yibma. So by Yibma, it says V'lokhle Isha, which we learn to perhaps pertaining perhaps to the Kedusha Yivama. But there are several ways of learning it. Either it's Kinyan Gomer, which case she no longer needs a chalitza, rather a get is going to happen if she wants to separate. Or really it's not kinyan gomer, it's only litchis, but tzara pushes away the tzara, completely pushes away the tzara, according to one side of the Gemara, it slightly pushes her away to the extent that doesn't affect this yivama, she's no longer a competing entity with this yivama, but the other tzara is still there with respect to her need. She still needs chalitza to totally absolve her of her zika. We continue with Tafaris and Dharam. We have three shitas, which were explained in great detail. All the best to you and much hatzlacha.